All right, so are you ready to like really go deep on this?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Okay, great. Today we're going to be looking at the world of public administration,
Public administration, yeah.
but specifically through the lens of information systems.
Right, and how they impact each other.
Yeah,
Yeah.
and we have these excerpts that we're going to be looking at today from an academic text,
Yeah.
and it's really interesting because it kind of pushes back on this traditional view of public administration as being just purely technical when it comes to information systems.
So the traditional view is lacking something.
Yeah, and especially when it comes to these integrated systems,
Okay.
like these bigger, systems, it suggests that maybe it's a little too focused on the.
Just the tech side of things.
Yeah,
Okay.
interesting. So let's get into it.
Yeah.
So first of all, what is this traditional view of public administration and.
Okay, so the traditional understanding is often this idea of like a neutral machine,
Okay.
almost like executing the decisions from like the legislative bodies.
All right. Just like a giant bureaucratic machine that just
Exactly.
hums along based on the Constitution, and that's it.
Yeah, like perfectly well-oiled, following the rules.
Yeah, exactly.
And this idea relies really heavily on this parliamentary chain of control.
Okay.
And the idea is that like the people's will flows through these elected officials to the administration, and then the administration is supposed to just neutrally carry out those decisions.
Okay, so that makes sense. But then, what happens when you introduce something as complicated
Yeah.
as an integrated information system?
Right, because that's not simple.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do those systems really operate in like a neutral way,
Right.
or are they, impacted by the political realities?
Yeah, that's a really key question, and that's where like these critiques that we're diving into today, they really become super relevant. They're saying that this traditional view that focuses so much on like the technical neutrality is maybe missing a big piece of the puzzle.
Okay, so that's really interesting. So we're gonna have to unpack that traditional view a little
Yeah.
bit further.
Okay.
And our source really dives into Max Weber and his ideas about bureaucracy.
Right. Max Weber.
Yeah, and he seems to be like at the core of this understanding.
Yeah, because Weber was all about specialized knowledge, defining those areas of competence and having like a very clear regulatory framework.
So basically, like, no room for emotions.
Exactly. He was very much like personal considerations shouldn't play a role in
Yeah.
administrative decisions.
Okay.
Like work should be carried out without anger and personal desire.
Right. So everything's got to be like by the book, super objective.
Exactly. Follow the rules,
Okay.
basically.
So then how does this like emphasis on technical expertise,
Yeah.
how does that translate to information technology?
Right. So that emphasis kind of spills over into how information technology is viewed
Okay.
and how it's implemented. And our source traces this back to the 1960s when administration started to shift from like those manual systems to the digital world.
Okay, so I'm guessing it wasn't just a simple switch from paper to computers, though.
You're right. There were definitely some growing pains,
Yeah.
especially when it came to integrating all these new
I
systems.
bet.
Yeah, initially a lot of the effort was just put into like replicating those existing processes in a digital format. They weren't really focused on integrating the systems or the data.
So, like, imagine being in a government office in those early days of computing.
Oh wow, yeah.
And you've got these different departments, each with their own separate systems,
Yeah.
almost like information silos.
Right, each one doing their own thing.
What kind of challenges would that create?
Oh man, well think about like trying to merge different registers,
Okay.
like combining an unemployment insurance fund register with a company register.
Okay.
If those systems aren't talking to each other,
Yeah.
it becomes a nightmare.
Yeah, that would be super complex.
Yeah, and prone to errors.
Right. So it's like trying to fit together puzzle pieces from totally different puzzles.
Exactly. It
Yeah.
just doesn't work.
That makes sense why the need for integration became so apparent.
Right, because it was just not working.
Yeah.
And that's where this idea of a corporate database comes in.
Okay.
This was an attempt to centralize data, reduce redundancy and create like a single source of truth for the organization.
So instead of having all this customer data spread out,
Exactly, it's all in one place.
yeah, that seems like a logical solution.
It does, and it shows a shift in how people were thinking about these systems. It
Okay.
wasn't just about automating tasks, it
Yeah.
was about supporting the overall goals of the organization.
Right. So it's like a more holistic view.
Exactly.
Okay. And then that shift led to the development of theoretical frameworks
Right.
like managing information systems or MIS. And more importantly for our conversation, information engineering.
Yeah, information engineering was a much broader approach. Yeah. It really focused on mapping out the information needs of the entire organization.
So not just focusing on the technology itself, but like how information flows
exactly
within the organization.
Yeah, and how that flow could be improved and optimized.
It's like a blueprint for the whole organization.
Exactly.
But did this information engineering, did it actually deliver on its promises?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because while information engineering had these, like, you know, big dreams for organizational change,
uh-huh.
our source suggests that it really boiled down to just a more technical centralization of data.
Okay.
Rather than those big cultural and procedural shifts that they were hoping for.
So there's this disconnect between the theory
yeah.
and like the reality of there? Implementing these systems.
It's always harder in practice.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So to really understand how these ideas like actually played out, we need to look at government policy.
You do.
Right?
You need to see how they put these ideas into practice.
It's yeah. Exactly. So we're going to turn to these reports from the Danish Ministry of Finance.
Okay.
Which provide a really interesting look into how governments were approaching these new concepts.
This is going to be good.
Yeah, and how they saw this whole future of integrated information systems.
The future is here.
Yeah. Are you ready to unpack all this?
I'm ready. Let's go.
So we're looking at these reports from the Danish Ministry of Finance.
Right.
Effective IT in the Government.
From 1989.
From 1989, okay.
Yeah.
And Info Society Year 2000.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me about these reports. Like, what were they trying to do?
Well, they kind of give us a snapshot of how governments were dealing with this like new wave of information technology.
Okay.
Effective IT in the government, I think, is particularly interesting because it kind of acknowledges that IT up to that point had really just been used to automate those existing tasks.
Right, like we were saying.
Yeah, just taking those manual processes and
making them digital.
Making them digital, exactly.
Yeah.
But this report signals a shift. Okay. It's like, okay, we need to think bigger.
Uh-huh.
We need to create this like interconnected information network
okay.
that goes beyond just individual organizations.
So like across different departments?
Across departments, across sectors.
Wow.
Even extending to like the EU level.
Okay, so a truly integrated approach.
Yeah, big ambitious thinking.
So how are they going to make this happen?
Well, they outline the state IT policy
okay.
built on three main things.
Okay.
Results orientation.
Okay.
Meaning like IT investments
mm-hmm.
should be tied to these broader goals of modernization and efficiency.
So like making sure it's actually useful.
Exactly. Making a difference.
Okay.
The second thing was market management.
Okay.
Leveraging those competitive forces to drive innovation and cost effectiveness.
Okay. So using the market to our advantage.
Exactly.
Okay. What's the third one?
And this one is particularly relevant to our discussion today.
Okay.
Decentralization.
Decentralization. Didn't we talk about that with information engineering?
You got it.
Okay.
So the report's emphasis on decentralization, it really aligns with information engineering.
Okay.
Both approaches emphasize solving problems at the lowest possible level.
Okay.
Empowering those closest to the issue to design the solutions.
So it's not just about like centralizing data.
Right. It's not just about that corporate database.
Yeah.
It's about distributing that decision-making power when it comes to data.
Okay. But how do you actually put decentralization into practice?
That's the challenge, right?
Yeah.
You need some sort of framework to guide those decisions.
Right.
And the report actually gives us that. It outlines four distinct levels for data strategies.
Four levels. Okay.
So you've got institutional, ministerial,
uh-huh.
national, and EU.
Okay. A hierarchy.
It is a hierarchy.
Of decision making.
Exactly. Each level addressing a specific scope.
Okay. So break it down for me. What's each level all about?
Okay. So at the institutional level,
yeah.
you have those individual government entities.
Okay.
Each responsible for its own IT strategy.
So they figure out their own tech needs.
Exactly. Right. Then you move up to the ministerial level.
Okay.
And here the focus shifts to coordination
uh-huh.
across different entities within that ministry.
So working together.
Working together, sharing data, collaborating.
Okay. Makes sense.
And then things get a bit more complex.
I bet.
When you go to the national and EU levels.
Yeah. So now you're talking big picture stuff.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the national level, it's about establishing that cohesive IT policy for the whole country.
Okay.
Data communication security standards
uh-huh.
and aligning with EU initiatives.
Right, because you got to play nice with the EU.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And speaking of the EU, that level is all about making sure things work between member states.
Okay, so interoperability.
Yes, promoting open systems, establishing standards, making sure that national administrations can share data.
With other countries?
With other countries, seamlessly.
Wow, it's very ambitious.
It is very ambitious. Yeah.
So you've got this multi-layered approach, each level building on the one below it.
Uh-huh. All with the goal of creating a more integrated and efficient public sector.
Okay. But our source also talks about some potential downsides.
Right.
To this very technically focused approach.
Yeah, because even with all this talk about integration and modernization, these reports and the policies they inspired, they were still coming from that traditional understanding of public administration.
Okay.
That idea of like a neutral, technically driven system.
So even though they were pushing boundaries, they were still stuck in that old model.
Yeah. It's hard to completely break free from that. And that creates blind spots.
Okay.
Remember, they were drawing heavily from that MIS literature, which is great for analyzing data processes and building systems, but it might not capture the full picture when it comes to complex administrative decision making.
So, like, you have the tools, but you don't really know how to use them.
Yeah, exactly.
In the real world.
Where things are messy and unpredictable.
Right.
Yeah.
So are there, like, specific examples where this technically focused view falls short?
Well, think about the Weberian model.
Okay.
Where administration is supposed to just neutrally provide information to those political decision makers.
Okay.
This model, it underpins a lot of these approaches, but it doesn't really account for how information is actually used.
Right. Because information is not always neutral.
Exactly.
It can be like framed or interpreted.
Yeah. It can be used in ways that support certain agendas.
Right.
So the critique here is that this framework, it sees any deviations from that neutral model as problems to be solved.
Like technical glitches.
Exactly.
Okay.
But maybe those deviations are actually telling us something important. Okay. Something about how complex administrative decision making really is.
Right.
Something that goes beyond just those technical factors.
So instead of seeing those deviations as problems, we should look at them as opportunities to learn.
Opportunities to learn how these systems really work in the real world.
Okay.
And that means moving beyond that narrow focus on technical solutions and considering those political, economic, and social factors that shape how information is used and how decisions are made.
Okay, so it's more than just the tech.
It's about acknowledging that technology isn't neutral.
Yeah.
It's embedded in those systems of power and influence.
Okay, this is really interesting. So if we accept that this purely technical view is too simplistic, what does a more nuanced understanding of public administration and information systems look like?
That is the million-dollar question.
It is.
And it's one that we'll explore more as we continue our deep dive.
Okay, so we've talked about how this like purely technical view of information systems might be too simplistic.
Maybe it doesn't tell the whole story.
So what would a more nuanced understanding look like?
Well, I think we got to start by recognizing that technology itself isn't neutral. Like the decisions that we make about how we design and implement these systems, they have real world consequences.
What do you mean by consequences?
Okay, think about it this way.
Yeah.
These systems, they can either like reinforce existing power structures or they can challenge them.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They can promote transparency and accountability or they can hinder them.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on how they're designed and who has control.
So it's not just about the tech itself. It's about the values that are like embedded in the system.
Values and the assumptions.
Right. And those things aren't always like explicitly stated.
No, definitely not.
So it's even more important to like really look at these systems critically.
Absolutely. We have to ask those tough questions.
Yeah.
Like who benefits from this? Who might be disadvantaged?
Right.
And maybe most importantly, what are those unintended consequences?
Yeah, because those could be huge.
It can be huge.
So it seems like it would be really important to get a lot of different perspectives involved.
Absolutely.
In the design process.
You need input from different disciplines.
Yeah.
Different backgrounds, different lived experiences.
Right. To make sure that.
To make sure it actually works, that it serves the public good and doesn't accidentally perpetuate inequalities.
So it's like a more human-centered approach.
Exactly.
The public administration.
Human-centered, yeah.
Recognizing that like people aren't just data points.
People are more than data.
Right. their citizens with with rights and needs.
With aspirations.
Aspirations.
Exactly. It's about using technology to empower people, to connect them, and ultimately to create a more just and equitable society.
Yeah. That's something I think we can all get behind.
I think so.
It makes this whole conversation about databases and information systems feel a lot less technical and a lot more human.
That's the point, right?
Yeah.
It's about people.
Technology should be a tool for human progress.
Absolutely.
Not something that like dehumanizes us.
Not at all.
So as we're wrapping up this deep dive today,
okay,
I have one final thought-provoking question for you.
Okay, hit me.
And for everyone listening out there.
Okay.
So if we move beyond this idea of technology as like a neutral tool, how do we make sure that these systems are used responsibly?
Yeah.
And ethically?
That's a big question.
It is.
Especially in public administration.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Right.
I don't think there's an easy answer.
Yeah.
But I think we have to start by acknowledging that technology is not a quick fix.
Okay.
It's not a magic bullet.
Right.
It's not going to solve all of society's problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's a powerful tool.
Yeah.
But it needs a thoughtful approach.
Okay.
Ongoing dialogue and
yeah.
just a constant awareness of its impact on people's lives.
So it's not about replacing human judgment.
Right.
It's about like augmenting our capabilities.
Exactly. Using technology to help us make better decisions.
Yeah. And ultimately make sure that technology serves humanity.
Yes. 100%.
Not the other way around.
Absolutely.
And on that note, that is the end of our deep dive.
Another deep dive complete.
We encourage you to keep thinking about these ideas.
Yeah.
And to think critically about technology's role in your own life.
And in the world around you.
And in the world around you. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everyone.